Okay. Scott Miller. This is my sample interview. Okay, we can just put it right here. So, when and where were you born?
I was born in Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida?
Both of my parents were born in Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So, we go back pretty far.
Pretty a long time?
Yeah. My grandfather first came to Jacksonville in 1910 or 1911. And I can give you some business history about that, mm-hmm. if you're interested.
Perfect. Where did you grow up in Jacksonville? What neighborhood?
On the south side. It was near Lakewood. It was north of Lakewood. I guess the area was called Ardsley. Mm-hmm. Today they call it San Marco.
San Marco?
There was a big gap,
mm-hmm.
It was closer to where Lakewood is.
Did you enjoy living there?
Lived there till I went to college.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to college?
I went to University of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
School, yeah.
Where were your parents raised in Jacksonville? Well, if not, were they born?
My father was born in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and he was raised, I believe, 8th and Perry is where they even built a home,
mm-hmm.
my grandfather. And as far as he went to, graduated from Andrew Jackson, graduated when he skipped two grades,
mm-hmm.
and went to the University of Florida. He was an accounting major, and he passed a CPA. As far as my mother was born, it's interesting, St. Vincent's mm-hmm. Hospital, and in fact, the new CEO there, I met him, he just came recently, and I mentioned that she was born in 1922. He said, that's really interesting because he had the manual records of the births.
Mm-hmm.
He actually sent me a photocopy.
Oh, man.
Of her birth certificate, mm-hmm. her birth, mm-hmm. being born at the hospital in 1922. So that was, I found that interesting. But she, her family was here, and then I know at one point, I guess it was during the Depression, that they had been in West Palm Beach, and there was a hurricane, and I know they moved up to Ridley Park,
mm-hmm.
or Pennsylvania is where she went to high school, and she came back to Jacksonville, and that's where she met my father. She was born, so both my parents were born in Jackson.
What about your grandparents?
My grandparents, I have a history here from my Aunt Molly. She gets mm-hmm. very, she embellishes, romantic, actually, she mm-hmm. romanticizes the situation. But my grandfather was born in Trablus, Tripoli, which was then Syria, part of the Ottoman Empire. Today, it would be Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather on my father's, my grandmother on my father's side, was born in Izmir, which is Smyrna, Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my aunt was telling the story mm-hmm. that they didn't speak the same language. My grandfather used to travel around the Middle East, and I guess it was one of those setups. Mm-hmm. And so she spoke five languages, but she had to learn Arabic to be able to communicate mm-hmm. with them.
Do you have any siblings?
I have a brother who was an allergist, and he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
A number of years ago, and had a sister who Jan Glassman.
What were they like growing up?
Well,
were you close with them?
Well, my brother was 2.5 years, 3 grades ahead of me, and as far as we were involved in a lot of activities together, and I was always trying to follow his lead, although he didn't lead in certain areas, mm-hmm. but academically he was very strong. He went to University of Pennsylvania, and that's when I decided to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, actually, she skipped her senior year and she went to Penn.
Oh, wow. Well, do you have any favorite stories from your childhood?
About the center or about my childhood?
I mean, it could be childhood. I would prefer more about, like, I mean, you grew up, yeah, the center.
No, I mean,
being
I grew
Jewish.
Up at the center. I went to, in fact, I have a picture of my kindergarten class,
mm-hmm.
in which there are a number of people that are, several people that are still members today. Sheldon Kaplan, I don't know if you know who he is. And, he was like Billy Walensky, and a mm-hmm. number of other people, Peggy Cohen, Organis, that I could, that was, so I mean, my memories go back to 3rd and Silver Street when they had the old synagogue as well as the new activities building, which today I think the old synagogue
was burned. It downtown, correct?
Yeah, 3rd and Silver. Mm-hmm. It burned down, but they still have the activities building.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about We're doing some type of development of that right across from the park. But we used to went to Hebrew school either Mondays and Wednesdays or Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be proactive with the busing because mm-hmm. most people lived in the suburbs, lived in the south side, and they used to have buses that went out and picked the kids up and took them. So the parents were off the hook. And this was, I guess I call it in loco parentis, since the parents weren't as involved.
Mm-hmm.
They made sure the kids were educated. There were two people that their pictures are up at the center if you go and look at the quarters. One was mm-hmm. Tim Riley, who used to be one of the bus drivers. Annie Mae, who used to cook us, I know, dinner sometimes. They used to have double sessions. There were so many kids involved mm-hmm. that they had a dinner prepared so you could actually have a Hebrew school, I guess, later in the afternoon and then mm-hmm. still get home maybe at 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I know that a lot of the kids would play basketball mm-hmm. in the gym. There was a gym with bleachers there. You can still see a picture. They have some archives of Jacksonville in the Jacksonian. You can probably pull it up and see
okay.
where they painted these the bleachers. Of, you know, anyway, it's an old,
mm-hmm.
it's old pictures now.
Did you have any? Who were your best friends? Were they Jewish?
I would say that I had a cross section of friends,
mm-hmm.
I mean, but I was very involved in Boy Scouts and USY. As far as friends that I mean, I was friendly with all of my peers and the people older than me. One of my closest friends just passed away a few months ago, Leonard Selber,
mm-hmm.
which his father, Philip, had been president of the center for many years. My father had been a treasurer of the center for almost as many years as Philip mm-hmm. had been involved.
Who were your favorite relatives? Did they live by, or did they only visit occasionally? Did you visit them?
We had an extended family mm-hmm. as far as that. My grandfather on my father's side, I mean, had, I had to count how many lived in Jacksonville, but we would have our seders together. And as far as on my father and mother would have a Friday night dinner during my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and we still have a family dinner every Friday night. My kids are coming and my grandkids, the ones that live here. And we used to have it with my father's children until it got too big.
Mm-hmm.
And then we split off. We split off right during the pandemic. So now we get together maybe once every 6 weeks as an extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our Seder together.
Nice. Where did you go to grade school and high school? You talked about you went to the center,
right? Hendricks Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's an elementary right on Hendricks.
Mm-hmm. When you were a child and living in Jacksonville, did you ever encounter any anti-Semitism? Can you describe those experiences?
Yeah, I mean, we knew where we could go and where mm-hmm. we couldn't go. I know that I kind of crossed over. I had friends from, you know, a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, it wasn't a ghetto at that point in terms of, but I know that I think in, whether it was sixth grade or seventh grade, I was asked to be part of Cotillion, which was mm-hmm. a not a Jewish organization, and mm-hmm. I most of the activities were on Friday night, and I decided not to
mm-hmm.
do it. But I there wasn't really the overt anti-Semitism. I know it was, you know, I was called a dirty Jew more than one, you know,
mm-hmm.
more than once. I know. I remember when I went to Boy Scout camp. And I met somebody from another troop in the southeast, and he'd never met a Jew before.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, you know, about the horns. I guess he was expecting mm-hmm. to see some horns growing out of my head.
Yeah.
But I would say that some of the recollections I remember was there was a Warren W. Folks who, during my high school year, he would run for city council or some elected office. He never won, but I know he got 25% of the vote one year. And his campaign was to send the I don't know that he called them mm-hmm. Negroes, which was the proper term at that point, back to Africa, and I think he wanted to send the Jews wherever they would go. Mm-hmm. But it was clearly a blatant racist and anti-Semitic campaign. He got 25% of the vote at that point in time. So you had a very active, and I guess we're becoming more familiar with this stop hatred, you know, stop racism, whatever was going on with the campaigns. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that, it was pretty much out of not knowing other Jewish people. I think it was just something that not being familiar, not being really part of the community. We had a separate country club. We were members of the Beauclerc Country Club. You couldn't join the San Jose Country Club. And as far as it wasn't until after a lot of those barriers broke down that then when the Jewish family could join the San Jose Country Club, there really wasn't the necessity to have a Jewish country club, but that's when David Stein got involved, and my father was involved too with that. He was a member of the original Jesters Club that was that I guess helped start the Beauclerc Country Club, and they had to, you know, sell their stock in order to get the what's today the JCA, and I guess where the Federation Building is.
Was segregation part of your daily life? In what ways?
Never went to school with high school with anyone who was of color.
Mm. How did that make you feel? Was it strange, or were you just brought up in that way?
I mean, I think that it was just the way it was.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in USY that we had some social action projects. I remember the EEOC, the Economic Opportunity, whatever it was, we would go as a group and we would work with some of the underprivileged kids. And I remember, you know, that it was, I can go back and remember the Hemming Plaza, which Hemming Park they called it, and they had colored and white water fountains as well as, you know, at the zoo. They had a separate area cafeteria for coloreds and white, and they had the restrooms labeled the same. And the bus, the public transportation, they had colored, had the seat to the rear. I don't know whether you're familiar with any of that. But we would actually, as a group, when we were teenagers, we would go in the back and sit in the back. I mean, as our own social protest. So I can't say I was woke back then, but it was just something we were taught.
Yeah.
You know, as far as people were equal, and we really didn't share in what was in the, you know, in the water.
What major events in Jacksonville did you live through? What are your memories of their local impact? Did you live through any major events?
You know, I was just telling my granddaughter and grandson about when the Beatles were here in 1964, and we had just had Hurricane Dora. I had just got my driver's license a few months before, and I dropped my sister and a friend. My sister was 9 years old, and I dropped her off at the Gator Bowl, and they were able to perform. I went to pick her up, and I guess everybody was watching the Beatles on stage, and I was able to walk right in, and I got to see them.
Wow.
So that was an experience. I don't know what else you're asking about, I mean, as far as me. But I,
it was just if there was any major events, I would say, in Jewish history or in Jacksonville that you just remember that could have impacted you or the city.
Well, I mean, I know that when we opened up in the synagogue and they had a procession of, you know, the Torah scrolls, I remember my cousin Charles, who is still, he's living at the Coves, and he may be someone you want to follow up with and talk with. He's more chatty than I am. And, but he was, you know, the president of the synagogue, and they were carrying the Torah scrolls to the new property.
Hold on. Let's make sure. Yep, we're still good. You can keep going.
Okay, so basically that was a significant event. I used to be on the Federation Board. I know it was issue of whether we should even have a JCA that became a controversial thing because the synagogues were concerned about their territory and didn't want to. And in the meantime, the JCA was built, and the Federation moved from the they were on St. Augustine. At one point, they had the Jewish Community Council. I remember going to meetings there as a kid. I think they were probably for Esquire or Junior Esquire. They used to be youth groups that, mm-hmm. that we had. And other activities. They were in the small little building right in San Marco.
Sweet. Do you see yourself less, more, or observant as your parents were? In what ways? Why do you think this is the reason?
I probably, my mother wasn't observant at all.
Mm-hmm.
My father came from an observant family. In fact, my aunt writes about it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if anybody wants to look at the Oral History Project of the University of Florida, where Sylvia Shorstein interviewed my aunt Molly Rubenstein,
mm-hmm.
It was dated July 5th, 1980, and she talks about her mm-hmm. experience growing up, and my grandfather's affiliation with the B'nai Israel, I believe, is the name of the precursor to the center,
mm-hmm.
and how when they moved to Springfield, he was part of, I guess, what was a minion in that area, and then they built the center, and he became a member of the center, but he also was always involved with the other synagogues.
Mm.
And I was very active in, as I said before, in Boy Scouts, although I never got my Eagle Scout. I dropped out before that. But I got the New York Tom Meade Award,
mm-hmm.
and I went through, went to Hebrew school in the afternoon, through my, I guess whatever year they had it to, I was confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
I was very active in USY. I was a regional officer, and I used to go to travel to the mm-hmm. Southeast region, and actually became religious chairman, I think I probably in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was maybe by default. But, but as far as, I went to Israel in 1965 with USY, which probably was a very good time to reinforce, the never really had lived for a whole summer, and it wasn't just a 4-week trip. I think it was 6 to 7 weeks that we mm-hmm. lived in Israel. But to pray three times a day mm-hmm. and say Birchat HaMazon after each of the meals, and it was an impactful experience. And I also was involved at Penn and Hillel.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, I mean, we still have the similar traditions, Friday night meals,
mm-hmm.
And I, am vegetarian, so the issue of kashrut,
mm-hmm.
and we have a vegetarian house, so we don't let meat in here because uh-huh. we're not.
What did you think your life would be when you were older?
I wasn't much of a planner. I went into the family business, and mm-hmm. my brother portrayed me as taking the path of least resistance,
uh-huh.
which was, that was probably the,
mm-hmm. What is your family business?
Today it's French Novelty. It was named S. Mizrahi and Company when my grandfather started mm-hmm. it, and they changed the name to French Novelty probably in the late 30s or early 40s, where France was the center of fashion,
mm-hmm.
and they really didn't have a formal, a ready-to-wear market. There was more linens, fine linens, and mm-hmm. and other things that they sold. But the France was the association with fashion. Novelty was being new, fresh, didn't have the same connotation that it has mm-hmm. today.
Did you enjoy school?
School in what sense? Kindergarten? Elementary school?
I would say religious school. I see you're in USY. Obviously, you were a big part of it.
I mean, as far as I was a voice, things came easy to
yeah.
me. I made good grades. I was mm-hmm. able to go to an Ivy League school. And,
the next question was, what kind of student were you?
I have a good friend, Donnie Safer. I remember he went to Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, his father, Joe P. Safer, was very involved in the Jewish community. And even with the JCA, getting that started. But he said that I think Wharton at that time maybe wasn't as, I mean, it was always a good school, but it was
mm-hmm.
the back door to Penn, and mm-hmm. Penn was the back door to the Ivy Leagues.
Uh-huh.
So that was what,
uh-huh.
Vanderbilt was the, I guess, one of the Harbor to the South. They still call it that?
I think so, or a public, or I'm not sorry.
I'm not sure with the schools today.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
Well, there's a question. You know, it's questionable as to who's good and who's not.
Yeah. Are you still friends with anyone from that time in your life?
High school. My college roommate was Leonard Selber. And he mm-hmm. just passed away a few months ago, and we stay close.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as most of our connections have been with family mm-hmm. Members. My brother's wife, somebody who I grew up with, we were in high school together.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the connectedness has always been there. Our kids all went to the Solomon Schechter Day School,
mm-hmm.
and the kids who live here, they're involved. And, Sarah and Bruce Warner,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, but mm-hmm. Their three kids are in the day school, and my daughter Dina is a pediatric dentist, and she's just moved here with her husband a few years ago, and her daughter, and now her nine-month-old son, I guess he'll be enrolling in whatever they have for
mm-hmm.
one-year-olds this year. So it's he's been involved in this thing. And I'm proud to say that my youngest daughter, she's really involved. She was honored by her synagogue in L.A. And
mm-hmm.
My son in New Orleans, he reads the Haftorah, on site.
Mm-hmm.
He also read Torah. He leads services there.
Mm-hmm.
And they made him chairman of the ritual committee. And now I think he's on some type of whatever they ask him to do, he seems to be willing to
mm-hmm.
do. And he has two young children that are in their Hebrew or school shul, I think is what they call it there.
Mm-hmm. What are your earliest memories of the synagogue?
Well, I remember the old chapel.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the older men that used to go there. And I know at the time, I remember they had a jacket they would put on you if you needed to,
mm-hmm.
because it was the proper, you need to have the proper attire.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the sanctuary upstairs. I remember they had an elevator down when they remodeled it downstairs. They also had an activities social hall underneath the sanctuary, and they had built onto the, and then they added the activities building. So a lot of these things happened in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, let's move this side. Has a role or rabbi or cantor have changed since your childhood? Or have they stayed the same? What do they do for the synagogue now? What do they do when, obviously, you were a child?
Well, I think that we had a much stronger lay leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people here that cared
mm-hmm.
enough about what the rabbi and the cantor did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were integrally involved in making things happen for the betterment of the synagogue. I don't think we would have the size of the synagogue, the campus, the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
didn't have that. I think that the recent iterations, over the years I've seen is that the profession has become more professional. What used to be unique about Jacksonville is I could go to a synagogue, which I would do when I was out mm-hmm. of town to see, and I would see old gray-haired people and no young people, but
mm-hmm.
we always had young people.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's getting back to, we've become like the other synagogues. So
yeah.
I feel that we really have not done anything to maintain or encourage
the younger generation.
Your generation.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, where mm-hmm. have you been since your bar mitzvah? I mean, and what I think a lot of that has to do, no mm-hmm. matter how busy you may be,
mm-hmm.
is there really hasn't been the outreach and there hasn't been the connection.
Yeah.
To try and I think a lot of that comes from the top. I don't think that, I'm glad to see you're involved with the CNU mm-hmm. program. But like I kind of have that tear in my eye for all the years that you've missed out on. Have you been in USY at all?
I have not.
I don't think you've been alone. But mm-hmm. As far as that, they really have not. I remember we used to have of course, this is part of the baby boomer generation, mm-hmm. but they had a USY, which is called Center Youth League. They had a younger group called the Charles Pallet Club. I think I was president of the CPC. Then the younger than that, they had a majors pre-teens, mm-hmm. which was before that. And then, you know, the, I guess it was Kadima today, and mm-hmm. then the college scene, and, yep. and so forth. But you know, there was a progression, and the kids, the numbers of kids. I have a there's a picture the year of my bar mitzvah. They were giving away the old yearbooks,
mm-hmm.
and so I happened to get, and there was a picture of all the people. They had a minion club every Sunday, and we had. In that picture, probably close to 100 teenagers, teenage boys, because mm-hmm. the girls were not wearing tefillin. Mm-hmm. In tefillin, and the cantor was doing this every Sunday. They, mm-hmm. The men's club would cook breakfast, and then the kids would go to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. We would go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Who had the most influence or impact on your Jewish identity at the Jacksonville Jewish Center? Can you describe the ways in which she, he, they did so? Or a group of people.
I would have to think that, you know, probably my father was the, you know, mm-hmm. most formative. I mean, he would go to synagogue on every Shabbat, and I remember I had to be a certain age before he would let me go.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there every week, and I continue to go every week. Mm-hmm.
Did he teach you any lessons?
Not really. I mean, I think the Hebrew schools did what they did. I mean, mm-hmm. Ted Gross was someone who was... very diligent, and I remember that we used to have what was called a machberet, mm-hmm. notebook. Do you know, have you ever heard the term?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway, and he'd give you points for if you write something for every page, you get points, and mm-hmm. you know, it would help improve your handwriting in Hebrew. And I know that there were, you know, measurements of skills that, and they had programs that they had used to actually have spoken to. Our current clergy,
mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't really like the term clergy. It mm-hmm. seems to be a little more too secular, mm-hmm. but as far as the, that we should do more to encourage the kids and acknowledge and their attendance when they come. There used to be on your Sunday school, as well as your Hebrew school report card, honors for synagogue attendance, mm-hmm. honors for attendance at the synagogue schools, mm-hmm. and they right now it's kind of... whatever you want to do, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the parents want to do, they do.
Yeah.
And I think that's problematic because I think most of the parents that are the generation, they really don't know what
mm-hmm.
You know, should is expected, and there really isn't the expectation. And,
how is Judaism practiced in your home? I already know you talked about this a little bit. Did your family keep kosher? Observe Shabbat, celebrate holidays, attend synagogue regularly?
Yeah, my father did.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was somewhat of a...
So she was less religious?
Yeah, I mean, she was... Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the right word, whether I wouldn't say irreligious or... Mm-hmm. You know, but she respected what my father did. Mm-hmm. She didn't do anything to compete with how he wanted to have us raised.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she came from a family. I think her grandparents were, her grandfather was very observant, but I think mm-hmm. her side of the family was very reactive to that.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them became very secular.
Tell me about your bar mitzvah. What did you learn? With whom, if... just describe the celebration.
Well, my bar mitzvah was actually this is the anniversary, Achrei Kedoshim.
Mm-hmm.
This is this week is mm-hmm. the portion. You can come.
Hmm?
You can come to the anniversary of my bar mitzvah. This is the just had a birthday week and a half ago.
Mm.
All right, so I remember that uh-huh. It's Achrei Mot Kedoshim. I had one of the shortest soft tours in the book,
mm-hmm.
which I read from the Navi scroll. Which is mm-hmm. the scroll, it's a prophet scroll, but somehow or another they got stolen from the center.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was short, I was able to do it. They also read the Torah portions.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Gross taught me. He was the chief, he was the principal, the head teacher. I had some exposure, to Leon Zucker. I remember when a few years later I got a scholarship to go to Israel with USY.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting in Zipporah Zucker's classroom where she taught the third graders.
Uh-huh.
So I was, you know, 16 years old mm-hmm. at the time, and I was in these little chairs
mm-hmm.
trying to learn some Hebrew just so I could, you know, be prepared.
What role did Zionism or Israel play in your Jewish education?
Well, again, I was born the same year as the State of Israel was founded, mm-hmm. almost to the month, if not the week. And so I just turned 77. Israel mm-hmm. just turned 77. And I know that a lot of what was happening at the time, I mean, obviously I don't have anything that I can remember when I was in 1948,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but I do remember that, you know, people that would visit, you'd hear about it, and you'd see these black and white photos of Israel, and you see the how it seemed, the pioneers, and it was actually at that time, I think it wasn't a startup nation, it was more socialist
mm-hmm.
oriented, and in terms of, they had the kibbutzim,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't really, I guess, more until the early years of Netanyahu when he started mm-hmm. the startup nation,
yep.
and trying to have the things that were, you know, today considered to be high tech, and all the things that mm-hmm. Israel has been at the forefront of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I'm answering the questions you'd like the way.
No, perfect.
I don't know whether you're learning anything either.
Oh, no, I'm learning. What do you think the future holds for the center? What do you think they can improve on?
Well, it's interesting. I think that...
if you want to talk about that, or...
No, I think there was a rabbi that was here not too many months ago
mm-hmm.
who talked about the future of non-Orthodox Judaism. And I think that there's no question in my mind, unless there's some major changes in the
mm-hmm.
way that the leadership approaches Jewish education,
mm-hmm.
that it will only be the Orthodox community
yeah.
that will be perpetuated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just in my lifetime, and just what I'm trying to do right now, is encourage some programs, giving incentivizing
mm-hmm.
Our youth group.
The younger generations.
Your generation,
mm-hmm.
to have people like you as role models.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you are going through the CUM process
mm-hmm.
is to your credit. I don't know if it's something your mother made you do, or whether or not it's something you went and said, I need to do something. You tell me. I'm interested.
Well, I was reached out to by the rabbi, and obviously there is not a lot of 12th graders who are, I would say, willing to do this or interested in it. At meetings, there's only four of us. There's 30 on the list, and there's only four of us that show up.
Okay, and how many times before that did the rabbi reach out to you since your bar mitzvah?
Zero.
Okay, all right. So again, that speaks to, and I'm not trying to
mm-hmm.
you know, do any character assassination. I just
mm-hmm.
don't think it's something that is in the job description, or is perceived in the job description,
yeah.
is to be, and you tend to have all these positions that everybody is getting, they're giving these titles, and nobody has a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, I could interview you and find out what you might have done differently to keep you involved. But we can talk about that
mm-hmm.
after
mm-hmm.
you're not on record.
So
of the other people, of the 30 people, are they involved, or just the only ones that are? How many will show up at the May 31st, whatever date they?
How many have done the interview? So I think there's four of us who have done an interview. So only four will show up.
That are doing it. You hadn't done it in about 4 days.
One of my friends, who is my good buddies,
who's that?
Zach Hoff.
Okay.
So he's a member at the synagogue.
Who were his parents?
Janine Hoff.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen her in a long time either.
No, he was in religious school with me.
Yeah, okay.
Something happened. He was out of it for a little bit. I don't remember if he had a bar mitzvah. I know his brother did, Toby or Johnny. He's actually doing his interview this week. And then I remember
who is he interviewing?
I do not know the person.
No.
I don't think they disclose it to me.
Okay.
And Jaden Reef
okay.
is also doing one. And then Brian. I don't know Brian's last name, but he was at the day school. And I know those are the only four people who are doing interviews.
Okay.
And then I would say... thank you. The last question is, for generations listening... to this recording years from now, is there any wisdom you'd like to pass on them about leading a Jewish life, and what do you want them to know?
You only stand on one foot as I say that?
You can do whatever you want.
No, I think that perpetuating, I remember there have been various sermons given about being a chain of tradition, and that each one of us is a link to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I can see it with my family. What I do is going to hopefully have some positive impact on my children, and what he has, I can see it, and my grandchildren. And I feel that it shouldn't take negative things to bring Jews together, like what we've gone through since October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
I know that getting back to when I was raised, I mean, it was during the post-Holocaust period, and it was very fresh in the memory. This was, in the 1950s, and you had the beginnings of the Cold War. So Jews were reacting to what was going on as opposed to coming together. They were also trying to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very successful. You know, it's very easy to assimilate, at least it had been up until recently, into the overall United States community. But I think that, in terms of the tradition that we have, there's so much knowledge, information, tradition that's out there that most people are not aware of. I mean, in order to become more aware of it, you have to live it, you have to experience it, and you have to be around people to do so that it doesn't create a conflict. If somebody says, "Are you going to be in synagogue today?" Mm-hmm. or "Are you going to the mall?" You know, if it's Florida Georgia game or whatever, where are you going to be? But I think it's a matter of how you prioritize things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, if I assume you observe the Passover Seder, and that's probably one of the most observed traditions that we have in world Jewry.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's only, once or maybe twice a year, depending on how many Seders you have.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a minimalist or a maximal experience, and whether you can perpetuate those feelings, and that's something that I think that as a conservative movement has not been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it pains me, and I know that the part of it too is it takes leadership and it takes challenges to status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that,
okay, perfect.